Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 7 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's episode, we are going to focus on the biology of hair and the hair problems that cosmetic formulators are trying to solve. Most people working as formulators in the cosmetic industry have a solid background in chemistry. It's not a requirement that you have a degree in chemistry, and there are many formulators with degrees in biology, physics, biochemistry, chemical engineering, or even others. I even knew a formulator with a degree in anthropology. But a chemistry degree is what most people have. This means that most formulators didn't get any more than the minimum requirement of study in biology. In reality, most people who study biology really didn't go into depth on the most important topics of biology for formulators, which include hair, skin, and nails. Since we already discussed skin in day 4 of this series, today we're going to cover hair. Knowing the basic biology of hair can help you create better cosmetic formulas. Of course, you don't have to know every detail about hair biology to be a good formulator, but there are some basic facts that every formulator should know. First, we'll begin with the basic structure of hair. It's difficult to describe the structure without a picture, so I'll be sure to include a diagram in the show notes. However, the most important thing to know is that all hair's growth begins in the follicle. The follicle is a tiny indentation in the skin that goes deep into the dermis. This is where the hair growth begins, and we will return to the topic shortly. Right now, I want to focus on the structure of the hair fiber, because this is what cosmetics are designed to affect. Products that affect hair growth are considered drugs in the US and around the world, so they are a little outside the realm of cosmetics. So onto the structure. Hair is made up of keratin protein. This is the same protein that makes up nails and animal horns and hoofs. And although hair is composed of keratin, there is clearly a difference between hair and nails. That comes down to the difference in the way that keratin is structured in hair. Hair fibers have three main structural layers, including the cuticle, the cortex, and the medulla. The cuticle is the outer layer of the hair, and it looks a bit like shingles on a rooftop. So they are like flat flakes that cover the surface. These shingles help protect the hair shaft. They are also what gives the hair shine and the feel of softness. When the cuticle gets damaged, which it often does, hair can look dull and feel dry. This is why most hair products are designed to improve the appearance of the cuticle. The cortex is the inner layer of the hair shaft. This bundle of keratin proteins is responsible for giving the hair strength. When you make hair products, you try to get the ingredients to penetrate into the cortex so that they can help boost the strength and flexibility of the hair fiber. When you get your hair treated with color or relaxer, it is actually the cortex that gets the most damage. The third structural element of hair is the medulla, which is the innermost core of the hair fiber. It is a spongy or even hollow, and its exact function is not really known. It is thought in our evolutionary past it could have provided insulation. All right, now that we've covered the hair structure, let's talk a little bit more about the chemical composition of hair. As I said, hair is mostly keratin protein, but there are other natural components. For example, there are lipids in hair, which come from sebum extracted from the glands in the hair follicle. Additionally, you'll find some fatty acids like 18-MEA, cholesterol, and other waxes. These natural components help give hair a natural flexibility. These are also easily washed away by surfactants and shampoos, so that's why restoring these compounds or the function of these compounds is often the goal of hair products. Just to finish up on the composition of hair, hair also contains a small amount of water trapped in the fibers, so anywhere from 8 to 14% by weight of hair is water. Now, the exact amount depends largely on the humidity of the hair's environment. Hair anti-frizz products are designed to combat this humidity effect, since hair behaves differently depending on how much water it has in it. So let's return to hair growth, since hair growth products are frequently something cosmetic chemists are asked to make. In reality, there are not a lot of active ingredients that can make hair grow, and if you found one, the product would be a drug, not a cosmetic. As I said, hair grows from the living cells in the hair follicle, which are located at the bottom of the hair bulb. These cells produce the keratin protein, which eventually turns into the hair on your head. Also in this area are cells called melanocytes, which inject the hair with color pigments, melanin, and they are responsible for the natural hair color of the fiber. The way that hair works is that the cells at the bottom of the hair follicle constantly produce keratin protein, which gets pushed out the channel that is the hair follicle. As the growing fiber approaches the surface, it is coated with sebum and the color is injected into it. But by the time the fiber gets to the top of the head, it is just dead protein. This is important to know. Hair is not living tissue. Hair is dead protein. Hair is about as live as a shoelace, for example. That's why it always amuses me when I hear companies claim to give you healthy hair. Your hair cannot be made healthier. It can be made to look healthier, but there's really nothing you can do to actually affect the health of hair. It's dead tissue. There are three phases of hair growth that every follicle goes through. At any given time, the follicles on your body are at different phases of this hair growth cycle. Which phase they are in depends on the genetics or the timing of each follicle. There is an active growth phase called the anagen phase. Now, during this time period, hair is actually getting longer. After some genetically pre-programmed period, the hair stops producing keratin, and the follicle enters a dormant or telogen phase. This can last for a number of months or even years. Many hair growth activities are designed to stimulate hair follicles out of the telogen phase. Finally, there is the catagen phase, in which the cells start to produce keratin again. At this time, the old hair is pushed out and it's shed. It's interesting to note that you lose naturally about 50 to 100 hairs every day. Some other facts about hair. Normal hair growths about 0.5 inches or 1 centimeter a month. So if you didn't get your hair cut for a year, you can expect it to be about 6 inches longer. Another hair fact is that the natural color of hair is correlated to the number of hairs on your head. People who are naturally brunette typically have a larger number of hairs, say about 125,000 to 130,000. Natural redheads have fewer hairs, with as few as 80,000. All things being equal, the exact number of hairs on your head really just depends on your genetics. Just a quick note about the shape of hair. Some people have naturally curly hair, while other people have super straight hair. This is directly a result of the shape of the follicle on your head. People with really straight hair have nearly circular follicle openings. Now, people with wavy hair have slightly flattened follicles or ovals, and the people who have kinky curly hair have very flattened follicle openings. From a protein standpoint, though, the shape of hair, the protein is pretty much the same. It's really just the shape is just depending on the shape of that follicle. Some other hair notes, the texture is a result of the combination of the hair diameter and the total numbers of hairs on the head. Also, there is no direct link between the natural color of hair and texture. But if you get your hair colored, it can give your hair the appearance and feel of more texture or body. This is why many consumers have these treatments done. Finally, as a formulator, you should know that the hair on people's head is colored by melanin, the same pigment that colors your skin. All natural hair colors are a result of two types of melanin, eumelanin, which gives shades of brown and black, and pheomelanin, which gives shades of yellow are blonde to red. Of course, we cosmetic formulators have figured out how to give people lots of other colors, so consumers are not limited to the hair color they are born with. One final thing about hair color, gray hair is actually a result of hair that has no color in it. Hair becomes gray because the melanocytes, which typically inject color into the fiber, stop working. There is much more you can learn about hair biology, but knowing these basic facts will help you in future formulation efforts. Perhaps the best book about the biology of hair for cosmetic formulators is the Robbins book, Chemical and Physical Behavior of Human Hair. It's an excellent reference for all things about hair biology. Let's now turn our attention to the problems that consumers report, which are the targets for new hair product formulations. As a cosmetic scientist, your job will often involve coming up with a formula that satisfies the desire of your marketing department. Usually, those desires are satisfied by taking existing formulas, adding small amounts of ingredients to support a marketing story, and testing the formulas to make sure they are stable. This is unfortunate because this isn't a very creative activity. You really aren't fully using your skills as a chemist or inventor. If you limit yourself to these types of projects and activities, you're going to get bored. There are still unsolved problems in many areas of cosmetics, and here are the top 10 unsolved problems in the hair care area. Number one is hair loss. It's a fact of life that people lose their hair. Much of this is through natural shedding, which is replaced in the normal hair growth cycle. But as people get older, hair loss becomes more permanent. If you can figure out how to stop hair loss or to make it start growing again, you'll be rich. Of course, any solution you come up with will be a drug. However, if you do, the payoff could be huge. Number two problem is unwanted hair growth. This is the opposite problem of hair growth, but not any less important. Nearly everyone has places in which they wish hair wouldn't grow, such as the legs, face, underarms, etc. Solutions like depilatories or shaving provide short-term temporary relief, but if you can figure out how to stop hair growth, you may become famous, or at least rich. Problem number three is hair going gray. Everyone goes gray, and there are only two ways to handle it: artificial hair color that has to be constantly reapplied, or just let it go gray. If you can invent a way to restart natural hair color or apply color in a constant and convenient way, you could make millions, or maybe even billions. Problem number four is hair color changes. People spend lots of money on changing their hair color, but unfortunately, it changes back quickly. Make a way to keep the color in people's hair longer, and you'll have a product that will really outsell all other competitors. The fifth problem to look for new product development in hair care is bad hair condition, or make it hair feels bad. The only solution to this problem is the repeated application of a conditioner. But if you could figure out a way to give people long-lasting conditioning and making hair feel excellent, you could radically change the hair care market. Problem six is unruly hair, or hair that is frizzy and uncooperative. Conditioners help, but they don't stop hair from frizzing up during days of high humidity. There is still room to develop a product that really stops frizz, but leaves the hair feeling natural. Problem number seven is thinning hair. Hair loss is one problem, but hair thinning also happens to people as they get older. The thinning comes both in the thickness of the hair fiber and the number of fibers that you have. If you can figure out how to keep hair full, your wallet is going to get thicker too. Problem number eight is a lack of volume. A high percentage of people complain that their hair has no volume. These people have naturally straight hair that lays flat on their head. Figure out a way to give them more permanent volume without resorting to damaging chemical treatments like perms and waves, and you'll have a successful cosmetic product there. Problem number nine is shine. Everyone claims that they can give it to you, but in reality, no product delivers a significant improvement in hair shine, or at least something that's long-lasting. If you can find a way to make hair shine so that it sparkles like a diamond, this would truly be an innovative product. And the 10th problem is the time it takes to style. Some people take over an hour to get their hairstyle into the shape that they want. This is primarily caused by their lack of styling skill and the speed at which their hair dries. You may not be able to teach them to style faster, but a scientist certainly should be able to figure out how to get the hair to dry more quickly. So that is another area in which you could develop hair products that are truly innovative. So there you have it, some real consumer product problems that still need cosmetics to solve them.
Today's challenge.
Now that you've gotten a short lesson on the biology of hair and the problems that consumers are trying to solve, here's a challenge you can try to further improve your knowledge of cosmetic hair care. I want you to take a look at 5 to 10 different hair care brands and see what kind of claims they are making with regards to their hair. You can go to drugstore.com, find some hair care products, and review their claims. Compile a list of 10 to 20 claims that are being made about the hair. Make note of which of the top 10 consumer problems they are trying to address. Or are they trying to address a problem that is not one that we previously discussed? After looking at the claims, see if you can guess what ingredient is in their formula that is being used to address that particular hair problem. What are the main functional ingredients? Start a list of these. After finishing this exercise, you will have a good sense of the hair care product market and the claims that are being made, and even the technology that is being used to address the problems. Keep this list and continue to build on it over your cosmetic science career. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss cosmetic raw materials. Specifically, we'll focus on the aesthetic ingredients used in cosmetic products. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in the page and show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast service you're using. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share them with anyone else you know who might be interested. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at Chemist's Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum, and I encourage everyone to sign up and participate in that. You can get there by going to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.